Today we're summarizing Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. There's a lot of material to get through, so forgive me for talking fast. There is a sinful, and I would say innate, desire of mankind to feel good about themselves, to feel as though they're the smartest, strongest, funniest, best-looking, but more importantly, and to the point, the righteous or good person. Throughout the scriptures, it seems as though the Spirit inspires the human authors of scripture to point out the sin of all the characters. The disciples themselves are played off as ignorant, slow individuals when it comes to understanding what Christ came to do and who he was. There is one man that tradition had, or as tradition had it, was really, really righteous, one whom there are even extra-biblical writings about declaring his uprightness. Someone whose name is in the top seven names used in the Bible, alongside of Saul, David, Moses, nearly 300 times. This man is Abraham. After all, he was willing to give up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. He's the father of the chosen nation, the great-great-great-grandfather of the mighty King David, the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of the Messiah himself, Jesus Christ. Surely Paul would not be so bold as to say Abraham was not righteous before God. Well, the thing is, he was righteous before God, but not by himself, not in and of his works. He actually was condemned before God by his works. We learn in Joshua 24, he was originally an idolater. We also learn that he was a liar, Genesis 12. He was an adulterer, Genesis 16. He had faltering faith time after time. God came and had to promise again and again to Abraham that he would give him and Sarai a son. This obedience, as he sought to follow God, though, this obedience did not make Abraham righteous. It was the faith in God and his promises that was evidenced by his obedience. Of course, we hear of the story of him being willing to sacrifice his son. That is not what made him righteous. Verse 1 of chapter 4. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found. So their competence was founded in their lineage. He's addressing Jews here, and in their family heritage. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, it says, therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. So he's reminding the Jewish readers that they're not to find their trust in their lineage, in their great-great-great-grandpa, Abraham. And as we learn, their forefather was not justified according to his flesh or his works. Hypothetically, now he comes in with verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. Just imagine for a second. It's somewhat of a silly illustration, but I think it helps. A painting coming up to the artist and boasting about how gorgeous and great it is. Now go a step further and picture with me this picture of a sunset with beautiful orange and red and yellow rays bursting forth as it fades over the waves of the ocean. This picture is hung up on the wall by the painter. It's a special painting with legs and a mind of its own. So the picture gets off the wall and it goes down the steps and it falls and it messes itself up, and the artist comes and repairs it back to its beauty, and he takes the yellow and the orange, but there is no red left. So he cuts himself in order to restore the picture back to the original beauty. He takes his blood and he paints the red. And now this picture comes back to the artist, all puffed up with pride at its beauty. Of course, this is a ridiculous picture, but even more ridiculous than that would be a mindset of pride coming back to the painter and looking at yourself. If Abraham was justified by works, he would have something to boast about, but not before God. See, there is no boasting for mankind before God, for we are awfully, wretchedly sinful. We have messed up our lives. He is the Creator, and we are simply the creation. We are sinful. He is the Savior. We are the weak and hopeless. He is the strong and helper. We are the renegades. He is the Redeemer. We are the dead. He is the resurrection. We are the clay, and He is the potter. We provided the sin. He provides the sacrificial salvation. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Genesis 15:6, we find that verse. So now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Jesus plus something is nothing, but Jesus plus nothing is everything. So take a moment to think that we stand before God Almighty in righteousness. This is the one whom angels sing, holy, holy, holy. The one, as his wrath is poured forth, that individuals cry out for the rocks to fall upon them. The one who casts sinners into an eternal hellfire. The one who poured out judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. The one who struck Ananias and Sapphira dead. The one who struck Uzzah dead, who steadied the ark. All those who were not in the ark died of God's wrath. And we too deserve death and God's wrath. But the wages of our sin were taken care of by God's grace, as he offers righteousness, his very own son's righteousness, given not by works. The works have already been done by Christ, but simply by faith. So even Abraham could not boast before God, for his salvation came by believing in God and his promises.